are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus, and today we have decided that we're going to take you through all of the events that happen in Elder Scrolls Online, because we know some people haven't played it, and some of you have played it, and we're going to go back 10 years to the original story and explain it to you in the way that would be most enjoyable, at least that I came up with today when I was writing the show notes, and that is in the form of a movie trailer. And so I'm going to be reading this, the script that I kind of put together. It's written like a movie trailer. Lotus is going to chime in and expand on some of the details. And we're going to take you through none of the spoilers of the newest expansion, none of even the other expansions that came out, just the core stuff right at the beginning. Yes. The original story.
A lot of stuff. And this is kind of why we figured in the idea of the 10-year thing that we've been kind of addressing periodically, because ESO turns 10 this year. We've mentioned it plenty of times. That's a lot of story content. And we've said that essentially Elder Scrolls Online has provided more lore to the series than the series all-encompassing otherwise at this point.
That's true. It's true. There are more expansions to ESO than there are individual entries in Elder Scrolls in the main, main line games.
Yes.
Yeah. And the story is interesting. Like, the details about what happens in the second era and how that ties into everything else is very interesting. So we want to take you through the details here. So Lotus, are you ready for this? Because I'm gonna do my best movie trailer voice back when they had voices in movie trailers. This is really isn't a thing they do anymore.
Very ready for this.
And I'm gonna do some describing about what happens. We're gonna talk about the plane meld. We're gonna talk about the five companions, Molag Bal, all of that stuff. We're going to get you up to speed if you have never played through that stuff, or if it's been a while, maybe it's been 10 years since you've played through that content, and we're going to give you kind of a summarized, more enjoyable version. It takes you a lot less time than going through ESO yourself.
Yeah, probably 300 hours worth of story content at this point.
Yeah, we won't do all 300 hours. We'll do maybe the first,
we're gonna condense it down to
like you 30 know, hours. Like
30 hours in an hour.
Right, there you go. All right, so here we go. Let's kick this off. I gotta get my voice ready. All right, here we go. In a world torn apart by chaos, the year is 582 of the Second Era. The Ruby Throne lies vacant, and the Empire crumbles. As three mighty alliances, the Ebonheart Pact, the Aldmeri Dominion, and the Daggerfall Covenant, clash in a brutal war to claim the throne, Tamriel stands on the brink of destruction. How's that?
I love that. That was very good. I feel like all we needed was that like really dramatic like horn sound that they do in trailers, which is like like when they do the scene transitions. Yeah, exactly. That would really be the only thing that I could think of that would have added to that. That was great.
Wow. I can do that with my voice. Yeah,
beautiful.
There you go. It continues. Here we go. But the true threat lies beyond. As armies battle for power, a far darker force rises. The Daedric Prince Molag Bal, Master of Cold Harbor, unleashes the Plane Meld, a devastating invasion that threatens not just Tamriel, but the entire universe. With his dark anchors, Molag Bal seeks to merge his hellish realm with the mortal world. You got anything to add to any of this so far?
Basically, it's kind of funny. There's your first intro, which is kind of almost honestly not even the intro necessarily to the game anymore. It's kind of been like modified over time.
Yeah, remember when we saw the videos and like the anchors coming down?
Yes,
and like that
during
was
the plane
so
meld itself,
cool.
Right?
Yeah,
and you start in the Wailing Prison like by default. That's now an option in what you do.
Oh, we'll get into that part. Absolutely.
Oh yes,
yes.
But this is your you know that this is the reason. Well, it's kind of funny. This is why both you have your tie to the Alliance War that happens, and also the Interregnum, which is just a period that was talked about, but not really given much depth in the rest of the series. And it's why everything in ESO can be so nebulous, because so many of the, well, we'll get into the records being destroyed and stuff
right,
later.
Right, right. There's a big hole in the histories, which was very convenient to plug an MMO with yearly expansions into, because they could do whatever they wanted.
Period of time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going with this. One man will stop at nothing to see it done. Manny Marco, the ruthless necromancer, serves as Molag Bal's sinister agent, leader of the Order of the Black Worm. He sacrifices countless souls to the Daedric Prince, leaving them... Oh, I messed up. Leaving them as hollow husk... Ah, this is tough. It's tough to do this straight face.
Staying focused on this has got to be complicated.
It's a little difficult because it's just kind of humorous that we're even doing it. Here we go. Leaving them as hollow, soulless husks trapped in eternal torment. The fate of the world hangs in the balance, but this is just the beginning. You are one of many souls sacrificed by Manny Marco's twisted worm cult. Your journey begins in the depths of Cold Harbor, Molag Bal's dark domain, where you languish as a prisoner, one of the countless victims trapped in a living nightmare. And then a glimmer of hope appears. A vision of a mysterious figure known only as the Prophet reaches out to you, revealing that you are no ordinary soul. You are the Vestige, and your destiny is intertwined with the fate of all Tamriel. It's pretty good, right? Like, this sounds like, yes, I would watch this movie.
Absolutely. And this is why I will say it again. Start with this quest line. I know you can do ESO in any order you want. Just start with this quest line. It makes everything else so much better to have your background with the overarching plot around this time period. You're trapped, you break free from the prison, it gives you your basis. I feel like they need to, I understand the freedom aspect. It's so much better if this is your background, unless you have a specific role play for your character. This is like such a good anchor point, pun moderately intended, because of the dark anchors for
right,
like
right
this is like your basis, and it makes your connection to the imperial like provinces in Cyrodiil,
why they call you the vestige,
a relation to how you can interact with all of that. So much better. Overarching thoughts there is that it's, you know, this should be, in my opinion, the most logical way to start your campaign, unless you have a very specific like role play thing where you're only going to do parts of the story. If you're looking for an all-encompassing, I want to play through and see the events of ESO, this is your place to start, in my opinion. It was designed with this at the start, and the freedom is great, but this gives such better context to your adventures, in my opinion, and then you can branch out from there. But like, having this as your basis makes so many of the events of the world make more logical sense.
Yeah, and it's also really cool to like see yourself in Cold Harbor and to have to bust out of a Daedric Prince prison. Daedric Prince's prison would be the full word.
Yeah, exactly.
Full use of words.
Cold Harbor, you know, older zone, but at the same time, one of the first times we've seen Cold Harbor was with ESO.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool stuff. All right. Well, let's talk about the whole prison situation. With nothing left to lose, you make your escape. With the aid of Lyris Titanborn, a warrior of immense strength, and the eccentric yet loyal Cadwell, you break free from your cell and fight your way to the Prophet. In a heart-wrenching twist, Lyris sacrifices her freedom to liberate the Prophet, allowing him to guide you to safety. Reunited at the harborage, the Prophet unveils a story that will change everything you thought you knew about the world. That whole sequence of like escaping the prison and Lyris and then sacrificing herself, it's a really good setup at the beginning of the game. It basically fills you in on like, here's what's going on. Lyris is a badass. Prophet's mysterious. You just broke out of a Daedric Prince's prison, so that's pretty cool, you know?
Great way of doing a tutorial.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I still think that's the best tutorial the game has offered so far.
Yeah, I mean, I get that they made updates in order to accommodate more people and play styles and all of that. And especially if you've played it before, but you came back or you, forgot your login and bought another account and decided to log back in, whatever goes on in the world of MMOs, it's nice to have options. But it's still a good one to play through. If you haven't played through it, play through it.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. We're going to continue our little story. The fall of an emperor, the rise of a new hero. Varin Aquilarius, once the Emperor of Tamriel, sought the power of the Dragonborn to solidify his reign by lighting the dragonfires in the Imperial City. To achieve this, he enlisted the help of Manny Marco, who claimed he could grant this power if they could retrieve the legendary Amulet of Kings. Thus, the five companions were formed: Varin, Manny Marco, Lyris Titanborn, Sai Sahan, and Abner Tharn. Together, they embarked on a perilous quest to recover the amulet. Now we're getting into like the history bits, like the stuff that happened before you showed up.
Yes. Here's your background, and here's why Manny Marco is still an ass.
So, I mean, he was always like, I guess Abner Tharn was kind of an ass too, but
He is, but he's a more helpful ass.
Like, he has a redemption arc.
Yes.
Right.
And Manny Marco has a continued douchebag arc that continues from game to game.
Right, right. Well, that's the other thing, is that like anybody who knew Manny Marco up to this point should have been absolutely very, very careful, because he was already an established total douche by this point in his long lifetime.
Exactly. If you had any previous association with the Elder Scrolls series, it was already kind of he's a walking red flag.
Absolutely. Yeah, like certain political candidates. But let's move on. But betrayal was inevitable. Manny Marco, always the puppet master, betrayed the five companions during the crucial ritual, revealing his allegiance to Moleg Bahl. This treachery triggered the Plane Meld, setting in motion a cataclysm that threatened to merge Cold Harbor with Tamriel itself. The chaos that followed, the five companions... Oh, I'm sorry. I messed that up. In chaos... Oh, I'm sorry. I messed it up again. This is really difficult. In the chaos that followed, the five companions were scattered, their bonds shattered. Now the world... This is so hard to do. All right. Now the world needs a new champion. As the vestige, it's up to you to uncover the truth, reunite the companions, and put an end to Moleg Bahl's diabolical scheme. The fate of Tamriel rests in your hands. It's kind of a cool premise, right? Like this whole like...
No, it is. It's a good way of getting you invested, and it's... I'm not an MMO player very much, but... It's more of a story arc than I've been told you'll tend to get in MMOs, which is kind of cool.
That's a good point. There's a big World of Warcraft expansion coming out later this month. And if anybody has been playing World of Warcraft over the last 20 years, you'll know that most of the story is like hinted at in the main quest lines, but then really comes together in like the raids and the dungeons. And if you're not somebody who's been playing through that content, then you have gigantic holes in your understanding of the story of World of Warcraft. Like, it's kind of crazy like that. And I get that you still have to play through certain bits of ESO in order to get the story. But most of the story exists in the actual, like, zone main quest line story bits. And then there are these little additions that are the dungeons and trials.
And I would say that the stories from dungeons and trials are very good supplementary stories to it, but they're less crucial than like, okay, well, where's Manny Marco? And it's like, oh, well, I hope you're ready to do this trial to actually see Manny Marco. And it's like, no, you have your battle. This explains some other stuff. Like, there's other related things that come from trials and dungeons and group content. But ESO, you know, it is a very soloable game for the most part, if you're there for the story. Like, it is designed with the Elder Scrolls idea of getting your story your own way.
Right, right. All right, let's continue it. The stakes have never been higher. With the five companions scattered and Tamriel teetering on the edge of oblivion, almost literally on the edge of oblivion, it's up to the Vestige and the enigmatic Prophet to reunite the group, sans the treacherous Manny Marco. Their first mission, rescuing Lyris Titanborn, who bravely traded places with the Prophet in Cold Harbor, allowing him to escape. This is the part where, like, you start going through, like, the individual quests that the Prophet gives you, and it's like, all right, well, we gotta put the band back together. Let's go save Lyris, because she sacrificed herself for me, as the Prophet would say to you. And so you gotta go break her out of jail again, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah,
which but no victory comes without its challenges.
That's true. And that seems like such a tall order. Like, it's such a good story. Like, how the heck do you break into Moleg Bahl's prison in order to get somebody out, right? Like, it's one of those things that, like,
let's go back up.
Yeah, it works as a good plot point because it feels like ridiculous. Like, that's impossible. How do you do that?
Right.
But then you do it, right? So, next part. But no victory comes without its challenges. After freeing Lyris, the prophet senses a dark presence nearby, the unmistakable stench of the worm cult. The vestige investigates and uncovers the Orb of Discourse, a powerful device that allows them to contact Abner Tharn. Tharn, once a betrayer, now claims to have crucial information on Sai Sahan's whereabouts. But to get Sai Sahan, they first need to rescue Tharn from the very depths of Cold Harbor. Though Lyris and the Prophet are reluctant to trust him, the stakes leave them no choice. This, I love the twist of, like, Tharn was, like, not trustworthy. He sided with Manny Marco. You see, like, the scenes of how that plays out in the, like, the flashbacks.
Yeah. And I just, I love the fact, like, as a personal interest, I love when you have to, like, deal with people you wouldn't want to deal with in stories to make it work. But then, like, you always have to keep them at arm's length because, again, you're not necessarily friends. Like, yeah, you got your band of buddies, it's like five companions, but then it's right. Like, okay, but there's like a couple outliers. I love that, where it's like a very uneasy tension.
Yeah.
But also a level of cooperation.
Right. Do you trust him? Is he just trying to fool you in order to keep Manny Marco in power and accomplishing his goals?
And then it just becomes everybody working to their own means, but watching each other while doing so.
Right. Right. Here comes the next part. Enemies become allies and the truth is revealed. Venturing back into Cold Harbor, the Vestige and his companions pull off a daring rescue, bringing Tharn back to the harborage. Here, the Prophet drops a bombshell. He is none other than Varen Aquilarios, the former Emperor of Tamriel, thought lost to history. This is a fun twist. I enjoyed this twist as well when first playing through it. Like, yes. Who is the prophet? It's one of those things that, like, in retrospect, you could have been like, oh yeah, obviously he's the lost emperor who seemingly disappeared, you know, like that kind of thing.
Right.
And he's trying to make up for his
hollowed husk of a human.
Right. Right. But like he also has a redemption arc. Like it makes sense. I mean, he's a character that you can identify with. Imagine you were sitting on the throne, but you did not have dragon blood or were dragonborn. Right.
Right.
And you need that as a requirement. It's very hard to back out from power and just like, cool. What, hand the throne over to whoever else seems to want it, that happens to claim their dragonborn?
Yes, who claims their dragonborn, but right. You might not actually, like, they could not be dragonborn, and they could not have the better interests of people, like,
proclaimed, like, you're handing off rulership to somebody else, that doesn't mean everybody in your empire is going to just be, like, cool with that.
Yeah, no, like, actually, it's almost certain they won't be.
Right, right. It's a kind of a rock and a hard place situation. So, you can see that he definitely messed up, but you can also see that he was very desperate and there really wasn't a good solution to the problem.
Yeah, he basically chose what he figured would be the most useful to the situation, and it was just kind of a miss.
Yeah, right, right. All right, let's talk about Sai Sahan. But the battle is far from over. Sai Sahan, the loyal warrior, is also trapped in Cold Harbor, enduring relentless torture as Manny Marco tries to force him to reveal the reveal the location of the Amulet of Kings. The Vestige and Tharn set out on a perilous mission to rescue Sai Sahan, braving the horrors of Cold Harbor once more. Upon their return, they learn that the amulet is hidden in the ancient fortress of Sankertor, its secrets guarded by powerful forces. I love that our introduction to Sai Sahan is he's such a badass that he's not caving to torture.
Yes. Sai Sahan being one of the coolest characters I feel ESO has provided us.
Yeah. You know, we talk about this on occasion, the upcoming release of Elder Scrolls 6, probably in the next few years, and the fact that it's going to be focusing in on, like, Hammerfell and Sai Sahan's people. Why can't I think of their name?
The Red Guard. The Red Guard. It does seem like that would be, that's the prevalent theory, at least at the moment.
Right. And with that, I hope that we get some really cool references to Sai Sahan being such a badass.
Like, right.
That would be amazing.
We've always heard of like hunting and stuff like that. But like Sai Sahan was kind of a newer character, but like one that I hope gets kept in the series.
Right. Like maybe he and Lyris end up having kids, or maybe there's like there's a lineage into the fourth era, you know, that we find out, or maybe we meet his descendants, you know, like,
right.
That would be really cool. Or maybe he
9 foot tall red guards.
That would be amazing. Really tall red guards. Even more badass. Right. As tall and strong as Lyris. But as internal fortitude of Sai, you know, all exactly. Wrapped into one. That would be amazing. Maybe that's who we are.
Beautiful.
That Love might it. Be it. Maybe we're that character. I guess so.
The longest play in Elder Scrolls history.
I mean, I guess you can't pick your race then. You'd have to pick something that would make sense. It's like, that'd I'm going to be their descendant.
Red guard type of scenario where you have
I'm an Argonian.
You.
It's like, how do they have an Argonian kid? That doesn't really make any sense. All right. one more section before we take the mid-break. The final showdown begins. Together, the group embarks on their journey to Sankar Tor, facing visions of Manny Marco that taunt and torment them at every turn. As they press forward, Manny Marco's true plan is revealed. He intends to use the Amulet of Kings to trap Moleg Ball, absorb his power, and ascend to godhood as a Daedric Prince. But Moleg Ball is always one step ahead. The Daedric Prince intervenes, dragging Manny Marco's soul to Cold Harbor, ending his dark ambitions once and for all. This is another fun little twist. There's all sorts of twists in this, right? Like this idea that Manny Marco doesn't, this is not the full extent of his plan. He wants to freaking mantle a Daedric Prince.
Yes. Well, you've got the Daedric Prince of Schemes with a follower devoted to the Daedric Prince of Schemes. So by default, he clearly coincides with his scheming nature. So what are the odds that he's going to see? It's one of the things that it relates to what I always say about the Dark Brotherhood. When you make a brotherhood of people designed around killing anybody all the time.
Right, right. Backstabbing.
Why is anybody concerned
when they backstab?
Constantly backstabbing each other. Right. It's like you can't surround yourself with a mentality that breeds the thing if you don't want the thing.
Right, right. It's kind of like being surprised, like in Star Wars, when the Sith have an apprentice, like a Sith has an apprentice, and the apprentice tried to betray them. Whoever thought that would happen?
He's trying to take my power. That's literally all you do. You're just obsessed with power.
That's what the Sith are.
An apprentice who wants to be more powerful than you. Yes.
Right.
It's a self-fulfilling
prophecy. Also, cows moo. Who knew? All right, let's take a mid-break. We're going to go thank our patrons. We'll be back with the rest of the story, so don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No, this is a place that has high-quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one-of-a-kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons, and it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad that you are here, and thank you for tuning in, as always. Lotus are, and I are just glad that you keep tuning in and being a part of this.
Glad this stuff entertains.
Yes, and thank you to all of our patrons, all 118 of our patrons, including our newest patron, Dennis J. Welcome to the Patreon. I hope you're enjoying your ad-free episodes and all the other stuff you get over on patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Prince level, our tier patrons, Blinding Vision, Hircine, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kira C, and Peter R. Thank you so much for your support. And also, if you want to help us out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll read those out on a future episode of the show. We don't have any new ones this week, but if you leave one, we'll read it out next week. And you can also rate the show on Spotify or whatever other platform you listen to this on. You can check out our YouTube and watch our faces talk. And I've been doing some other little fun little video things on the side over there, so you should go check those out. And thank you for being here. We really do appreciate it. All right, we're going to go back to the story. So here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
But the victory comes with a price. With the Amulet of Kings now in their possession, the Vestige becomes the final member of the Five Companions, filling the void left by Manny Marco's betrayal. Yet a grim realization sets in. Tharn reveals that the amulet can be used to free all the souls stolen by Molag Bal. Man, it's so hard to just not mess up words. All the souls.
Especially when Manny Marco and Molag Bal both have the same startup.
Yeah, they're kind of tongue-twisty. Free all the souls stolen by Molag Bal, including the Vestige's own. But such a feat demands a heavy sacrifice, one of Varen, Lyris, and Sai. Messed that up too. One of Varen, Lyris, or Sai must give their life. As the final decision looms, one question remains. Who will make the ultimate sacrifice to save Tamriel? Of course, another fun little twist here. Like, your soul, you're the Vestige. Your soul is stuck. So clearly you want to get it back for whatever benefit it actually gives you. Who knows? Because you seem fine without it, but whatever. And somebody's going to have to sacrifice themselves in order to make this happen and free a bunch of other people's souls as well.
Yes, the only this is actually one of the only storyline parts that I do struggle with, because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of gravitas to put on something that kind of doesn't really hold too much weight in the grand scheme of things. The only part of the story that I'm a little like, I really wish it had more to it with who you chose. And it sort of doesn't.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, at least you get the choice, right? Do you remember who you picked?
Yes, I still remember who I picked. I said he was the coolest one, and it's a very self-serving reason why I chose Sai Sahan to sacrifice, because I wanted it to be the most efficient, I felt, of all of them for empowering it the best. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, why would I not go with the one who I think is the most badass? And I know largely the correct answer is Varen.
okay.
But, and I know that's the majority. They actually originally gave the percentages, it was years ago, but they actually gave the percentages, we set it on Tails, what the majority was that picked. And a lot of people wanted to pick Abner, obviously, because he's kind of like your adversary type of deal. But
He seems shady. It seems like he's also highly responsible for what happens.
Right, but they kind of make it so that it's like he doesn't become a viable choice. Varen is the most chosen, I believe. And then I forget whether it's Sai or Lyris, but they're both very far down the list. It's like a minuscule percentage comparatively.
Yeah, and because those are the characters we like, right? Like,
right. And my thing I've always said, I chose Sai because I actually liked Sai the best. And it wasn't that I wanted to kill him. I just felt he was the best for the situation.
Yeah.
And in a pure, like, cost benefit analysis, which is how I do a lot of stuff, I'm like, well, no, you got to go with the most efficient way to empower it. I don't want this wheezy old man who can't even see doing it.
Wheezy old man. I think I picked Sai also. I think I might have picked
him. Did you really?
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time. It's been 10 years, right?
But it has. It's been a very long time.
I think I picked him because
I felt like he was the most willing to go through with it. Like, he had been through a lot of torture and torments, but he also, it also seemed like he was the one who would find release.
Yes. So Sai seemed to want to sacrifice himself out of obligation to the greater good.
Right.
Very similar with Lyris. She felt that it was just like, I'm happy to sacrifice myself to help. And Varen's kind of like, yeah, this is all my fault. It should probably be me.
Yeah. Yeah.
and I didn't, although I agree that that was the most logical reason to use it, it was just like, okay, yes, you might be responsible, but I feel like you benefit the cause the least. So that was why I made my choice.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. It's interesting. Weather and Chat says, I chose Varen.
Yeah. Weather and Chat. I was going to say, if anybody wants to let us know their choices, if you remember them, or if you're new to the series and just made your choice, I always love knowing what people chose. So please do share. Back when this was new content, we had like a big thing where people could share on Tales. So I would love to hear any new players, what you chose now and why.
Right. Yeah. The why, especially. Absolutely. All right. Let's keep going.
The battle for Tamriel has begun. With the forces of darkness threatening to engulf all of Tamriel, the Vestige joins forces with Vanis Galarion, a powerful mage of the Sigic Order, to negotiate a crucial treaty. The fighters and mages guilds of all three alliances unite under a single banner, determined to end the Plainmeld once and for all. The time has come to take the fight directly to Molag Bal in the heart of his domain, Cold Harbor.
I don't think I appreciated Vanis Galarion as being a part of this as much as I probably should have.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the founder of the Mages Guild. Like he shows up a lot in the lore.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I also just loved the greater threat pulling all these things together. And it's why, like, yeah, the Mages Guild and the Fighters Guilds are great storylines and stuff like that. But it's just like having all of this like compound together, like working with them while you're doing this Cold Harbor quest line. It's just like, I felt like such a culmination of like a mega battle coming up, which I love that stuff.
Right. And all the different, like the three different sides. Like,
yes. And that's the other thing. You have to kind of like, it's one of the things where there's a bigger conflict at hand that has to kind of put your smaller conflicts, which is funny because it's like, okay, well, who's emperor? Well, that's actually a smaller conflict in the grand scheme of things, because if this goes off, there is no emperor. You're all dead.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's keep going.
The heroes must rally. The Vestige, now gathering fighters from the guilds, sets out to rescue King Dainar. With the loss of their former leader, the Fighters Guild looks to Dainar to guide them. But the peril doesn't end there. Vanis Galarion, too, is captured by Molag Bal. The Vestige mounts a daring rescue, destroying the Black Forge and the Great Shackle, the dark machines driving the Plain Meld. Yet, their victory is bittersweet. A planar vortex has already formed, accelerating the Plain Meld toward its catastrophic.
Let me try and say that again.
I love when you put in a word for yourself and then you try to reword it. It's like, this isn't even complicated. Why am I failing?
I can say the word catastrophic, but for some reason my brain is like, don't want to read that one. Towards its catastrophic conclusion.
All is revealed, but at great cost. As the Vestige pushes through the chasm to confront the vortex, a stunning revelation comes to light. The groundskeeper is none other than Meridia herself. With her divine aid, the Vestige and her allies battle Molag Bal's legions, forcing the collapse of the planar vortex. But this triumph is shadowed by tragedy. King Dainar, the brave alien leader, sacrifices himself for the cause. His final words echo in the Vestige's ears as they prepare for the ultimate showdown.
I love that twist. Less the King Dainar thing. That's fine. He was useful, but
right.
he did his part. But I actually really liked the groundskeeper of the Hollow City being Meridia all along. But it was like, well, she didn't really want to make her presence known yet, because again, as we've encountered several times, it's not impossible for Daedric princes to jump realms. It's problematic for them to remain undetected while doing so. That's usually the thing. Right. And they're so prone to screwing with each other, especially when they have like conflicting interests. So I love the fact that she was just like super low key and letting you rebuild the city. And there's like, okay, cool. We've got a decent establishment. So anyways, I'm Meridia.
Right. Yeah. By the way, I'm Meridia.
So that's cool, right? Like another freaking Daedric Prince just shows up out of nowhere. Like,
oh, cool. I would have liked to know that earlier. That would have been much more helpful.
Yeah, yeah. And then King Dainar being an Aeliad, kind of one of the things ESO does that's interesting is that we'll pull in flashbacks to the past. So you get to see characters and races and things that aren't around very much anymore, like the Aeliads, or these like tangentially side connection, like the Maomer, you know, like the Sea Elves.
There's a lot of weird tangential things like, OK, you're in Cold Harbor. There aren't really still Aeliads around. But in this area, you're dealing with an Aeliad. Right. They've had situations where it's like, oh, here's like an example of a Dwemer. Like, oh, OK, it's very rare. And it's like these weird offshoot situations that give you just a glimpse of the thing that we never really get to experience in game, but makes it a little more tangible.
Right. All right. One final mission remains. The five companions assemble at the Harborage one last time. They must journey deep into Cold Harbor to reclaim the Vestige's soul. Along the way, they encounter Manimarco, the architect of their suffering, and the Vestige must decide his fate, imprisonment or freedom. But the most antagonizing choice still lies ahead. Which of the companions will be sacrificed to complete the ritual and restore the Vestige's soul? The battle for Tamriel's soul rages on. With the ritual complete, the Vestige is imbued with the power of the Divines, a mighty force strong enough to challenge even a Daedric Prince. They cut through hordes of Daedra, each step bringing them closer to Molag Bal himself. In a titanic clash, the Vestige channels a blade of golden light, striking down Molag Bal and cutting him in half, sealing his fate.
Remember, you can never kill a Daedric Prince.
Yeah, I love the imagery here. It's like, that's so badass. And it's like, yeah, he's just going to go away and show back up.
Yeah, it's like, you just kind of knocked him out of commission for a while.
Yeah, yep, that's how it goes. And then
it's a cool way of knocking him out of commission.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. I mean,
very, very dramatic ending to that. It's also really fun for the time. I did it back when veteran ranks were still a thing. Which many of you might not even know what veteran ranks are, but basically it was a more stringent level system. Yeah. So the fight was in much more challenging because there was hard level caps on things.
Yeah, and from a lore perspective, it's pretty cool. I mean, there's only so many mortals that have stood directly up against Daedric
gone
princes.
Gone toe-to-toe with a Daedric prince as opposed to minions.
Yeah, yeah, so that's pretty cool. But the story has to wrap up. But victory comes with a twist. As the dust settles, the Vestige is transported to the Colored Rooms, Meridia's radiant realm in Oblivion. There, they are finally reunited with their soul. Yet, they learn that the one they sacrificed in the ritual is now bound to them forever, a part of their very essence. Tamriel has a new hero. With Molag Bal vanquished, the Vestige returns as the savior of Tamriel, a legend forged in the fires of Cold Harbor. But even as peace returns, the shadow of their sacrifice lingers, an eternal reminder of the price paid to save the world. And the story continues.
Yes, that all of that is just year one.
Right. I mean, it's a fairly complex story and it takes you to all these really cool places. The characters, I feel like the writers really knocked it out of the park to begin with. I mean, it's probably not the most popular story. It's not something people really talk about very much, probably because it can't be encapsulated in something as simple as like, I'm the dragonborn and I fight dragons. You know,
I had my soul stolen and defeated Molag Bal to get it back.
Right. While also saving a bunch of the companions.
But
and
then
all
there's
of
a whole
Tamriel
bunch of other stuff. Yeah.
And everything else. Yeah. And people recognize me and think I'm a badass, but I don't know. Do you ever feel like you get like the amount of like, I don't know, response that taking down somebody like Molag Bal would give you?
No.
Like, it
not
never
even
quite
remotely
feels,
I mean, right? It's more than the single player games tend to acknowledge me.
That's true.
Which is nice.
That's true.
But at the same time, if I did all of that, the word former should not be in front of the word emperor in my title.
Like, you are now the emperor.
I should just be sitting on a throne being given grapes while people wait. You know what? You you saved everything from exploding. And it's like, I sure did.
Right. Or like, I've been watching the Olympics because it's the middle, it's the toward the end of the summer and the Olympics are happening this year and all of that. Anybody who's listening in the future, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, the Olympics are on right now. And one of the things you'll notice at the Olympics is Snoop Dogg is everywhere. And I just found out that they're paying him $500,000 a day to just like hang out. That's what I want. I want the Vestige to be like the emperor, or at least, I mean, I guess they're still not
the
really an
Snoop
emperor.
The Snoop Dogg of Tamriel, is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, everywhere you go, people are just like, here's money, hang out, be our friend. Like, okay, cool.
I wish I remembered where I saw this tweet, but shout out to whoever you were. It's not somebody I follow. It was just like a retweeted thing. I just thought it was funny where somebody mentioned that they were watching the Olympics and their mom said this Snoop Dogg person is just so wholesome to watch. And they said, if you'll remember correctly, you grounded me in seventh grade for buying his album. And right. I thought that was a great way of describing Snoop Dogg's career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is such a weird tangent. I had to explain to Oliver, my son, while watching the Olympics, I was like, Snoop Dogg is like a really fun, goofy guy on TV now who makes these like pop rap songs.
Yeah.
But like he started as a gangster rapper.
Yeah.
Talking about like, you know, F the police and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And has totally changed his persona over the years.
Yes. He became very wholesome.
Very wholesome. Went from being like super edgy to super wholesome.
Yep.
You know, over 30 years, but still.
Yeah. Like,
you know.
Speaking of those redemption arcs.
Yeah. Redemption arc. Yep. Yep. But anyway, I want to be the Snoop Dogg of Tamriel. So if any of the devs are listening, that would be cool. Or maybe at least you have Snoop Dogg hair. That would be one of the hairstyles. That'd be kind of cool.
All right. Yeah. I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
Let's get some sweet dreads.
Yep. Sweet dreads. All right. Well, that's the story. That's the story of the base game in ESO. Yes. We've got plenty of expansion packs, and they each have really interesting stories, as my dog decides to bark at me. And
yeah, that's fair.
So we're going to cover those on future episodes. And eventually, Lotus is going to finish Daggerfall, and we're going to cover the ending
we'll
of that.
We'll give you the ending to Daggerfall soon, actually.
Soonish. We'll get there.
Yes,
we'll get there.
Soonish.
And if you enjoyed our look at all the fun little things last episode, which was late, about all the places in Skingrad and all the cool stuff in there that is worth checking out, let us know.
Yeah,
give us some feedback. Let us know what kind of episodes you prefer, because we would love to cater the show. And
we're always open to newer things, to cover some topics that have been suggested by various listeners.
And even in different ways. So I'm always down for like creative new approaches to delivering the content in ways that are fun and entertaining. So let us know what you like, let us know what you don't like in very nice ways. And we'll you know, continue to adjust and grow the show as we go. But thanks for being here, everybody. And Lotus, you have anything you want to share before we head out?
No, I was going to say, if you're interested in a lot of you were here hanging out for our random banter before the show, if that's your thing, mixed with in-game stuff, we'll be recording Tales of Tamriel presented by the unofficial Elder Scrolls pages this weekend. So it'll be a new episode of that, if that's your thing. But otherwise, I'm hoping this weekend, if all goes well, to stream some more Daggerfall. So feel free to check out my Twitch or my YouTube, which is just Lotus of Doom.
Awesome. Yeah, go check out his stuff. And of course, we've got a YouTube channel. I've got multiple shows. There's lots of cool stuff. You can check out robotsradio.net. All sorts of fun entertainment, other podcasts, and other creators making all sorts of things. So go check that stuff out. And we will be back next week. So we'll see you then. Stay safe out there. And, you know, if Molek Ball and Manu Marco show up, then take a note from the Vestige and chop Molek Ball in half with a...
Yeah, with sacrifice the weak link.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kill him. It's easy. It's not that hard. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.